we balance patient preferences with the idea of what's best for that individual patient, right? So patient preferences matter. And we tend to think about access, at least in the context of American medicine, in terms of who gets there first, right? Or who's sickest gets first access, thinking about triage in an emergency setting. On the public health side, right, there isn't this notion of individuals get to decide for themselves, because when individuals get to decide for themselves, it doesn't always, and often maybe doesn't, serve the health of the population. So you're talking about vaccine mandates. People get to decide for themselves, except when public health interests trump that. When we talk about justice-based allocation of resources, the focus tends to be on efficiency and equity. It isn't about who gets there first, right, or who can pay for it, which is, of course, unfortunately, the reality of a lot of American medicine. So I want to shift gears and moving from that to talk about allocation, because at the beginning of the COVID pandemic and outbreak, you know, the focus was, oh my gosh, we're going to be overrun in our clinics, in our hospitals, in ways that we have to be prepared for. More people than we have the things that are needed to care for them. And so I always say this, and some of these slides have been with me since the beginning of the pandemic. Unfortunately, everything in these slides is still real, right? So I think people are thinking, well, we're out of the woods with the vaccination rollout as it's going, but that isn't true. I'm still part of a committee that meets every single day to talk about allocation of scarce resources, which has shifted to focusing its work to include allocation of vaccines. But we spent the last, this whole week, in fact, talking about the scarcity of human capital, because we still have many, many patients coming into the hospital. I'm sure, you know, wherever you live, that there are still high numbers of infection, and it's among people who have not yet been vaccinated, and it's still really straining the healthcare systems. So we hope that we don't ever get to the point of having to say these things are too scarce for the numbers of people who need them, and we have to figure out ways to allocate. We hope that doesn't happen. And in really almost everywhere across the country, that hasn't yet needed to happen, but we have to be in a kind of ready to go mode in case we do. It's also important to say that allocation of things that are scarce has always been part of healthcare and to some extent public health in pandemic and in non-pandemic times. Of course, we haven't had a pandemic in living memory. Very few people were alive in 1918 that experienced the flu pandemic. There weren't so many resources to allocate in that context. So there isn't a sort of living memory of a pandemic, but we certainly have had and have issues in non-pandemic times of having to allocate things we don't have enough of. Solid organs is the sort of top of the list. And I'm going to say a little bit about that in a moment, as well as access to things that are very expensive and therefore scarce, not because we can't necessarily get enough of them, but because we just don't have resources to provide them for everybody who could benefit. In the context of the pandemic, hospitals and the people who work in them faced and continue to face potential shortages in all the things you see here, right? ICU beds turn out to be a real problem. And I'm sure you've heard in all the places where you live of ICU being set up in places that weren't formerly ICUs, and even in hallways and things, because there just aren't enough beds for people who need them. Ventilators, people thought were going to be something in short supply, turned out not to be so true for interesting clinical reasons. ECMO is a machine that effectively breathes and circulates and filters blood for persons. So effectively takes over both heart and lung function for people who are really, really, really sick. It's kind of a ventilator on steroids. Dialysis machines, the blood supply was badly affected because there weren't as many donors, even though there were still the same sort of levels of people needing blood transfusion for things like trauma and bleeding during childbirth and things. Convalescent plasma, as that became available as a therapy. And as it says here, staff has always been and continues to be a really, really big problem. There's been huge attrition in the context of mostly the nursing fields, but also in other allied health professions so that there are actually fewer staff available than were at the beginning of the pandemic, and the needs are actually not diminished. So all of these things are sort of in the context of what do we do if there are not enough of them, and we've got people coming into hospitals, how do we prioritize? So I'm going to now do a little stepping back again and say, well, this isn't a question we've never faced before. Sorry, too many negatives there. But we have talked about and continue to talk about how to allocate things that are scarce. Solid organs from deceased donors is the one that provides, in some sense, the most helpful example and many years of experience. And I put in parens here just from deceased donors because we treat solid organs from living donors as outside of the system of central allocation. So if you want to give your kidney to somebody, you get to decide who will receive it. Interesting ethics and policy issue in and of itself, not for today, but when we allocate.